Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you are excited for Christmas? I'm having mine today. Beautiful trumpets, trombones, the singing. Wonderful. Reformation Day 2017. The word of the Lord endures forever. It's a great reminder from God to you on this 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Don't you think? The word of the Lord endures forever. The world is going to get caught up with worldly problems. There's a 24/7 news cycle giving us nightmares all the time. But what do we have? An anchor that is sure. The word of the Lord endures forever. 4 years ago, on July 4th, 2013, someone, without thinking, tweeted, "America is 2013 years old today." Think about it. That's bad enough, but within minutes, hundreds of Americans were retweeting, "I can't believe America turned 2013 years old today. This is so cool. Happy birthday, XOXO." Contrary to popular belief, fake news did not begin with the November 2016 election. The United States is only 241 years old. The Reformation began by this young monk named Martin Luther 500 years ago, October 31st, 1517. Now, I'm not here to lecture on Reformation history or fake news or prophesy on where the world is going, how it's changing, and what other things need reform today. I'm here as a servant of the Word, a servant of Christ Jesus, to proclaim the Word of the Lord endures forever. All the singing today, all the pyramids in red and the cross and everything, all the treasures of the Reformation, our heritage of theology and music and art and the impact on Western civilization, all this means nothing in comparison to, and if it were not true, the word of the Lord endures forever. That's what the church is all about. That's the everlasting truth of God's word. In every generation, there is going to be trials and temptations and testing of this truth. You remember that Jesus himself was tried and tested in the wilderness by a devilish soul who tested Jesus' confidence in God's word, brutally tested, you might say, yet Jesus triumphed, believing every word of promise of God comes true. And he believed that, didn't he? All the way to the cross, he believed that. All the way to the open tomb, he believed that. And now he sits on God's right hand, proving and showing once again his rule and belief that the word of the Lord endures forever. Yes, Jesus did triumph, didn't he? He is living, we say, hallelujah. But with Jesus gone from our sight, ascended on high, even though he's still here, by faith we perceive it, even though he's gone, yet still here, the word will continue to be tested. Does it really mean what it says? Isn't that just your truth? And it's not my truth. Keep your truth locked up with those with whom want it, priests and popes and people with pipe dreams of salvation. We prefer fake news. The banner hanging in the sanctuary of society today proclaims the fake news of social media endures for a while. Pontius Pilate was quite a prophet of today, wasn't he? He foresaw the problem every generation faces when it comes to interpreting our world and how to make sense of all things. He said, "What is truth?" Pilate asked, as Jesus stood on trial for his life. What did Jesus say that prompted Pilate to ask this prophetic question, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. John 18:37. Jesus knew the difference between fake news and fulfillment of truth. Notice Jesus never talked about purgatory, the place some say you go after you die, to be purged of your sins, those things you haven't made up for here on earth, or lacked because you didn't have a piece of paper from the papacy that said, oh, we'll let go of these amount of sins for you. A mere piece of paper, does that? Jesus rather said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To the prostitute, he said, your sins, though many, are forgiven. To the thief next to him hanging, when the dying man asked Jesus to remember him as he comes into his kingdom, Jesus said, today, O thief, you will be with me in paradise. To the law, he said, it is finished. To the disciples, he said, after he rose, peace be with you. To the church, after he ascended, he said, I am sending you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will guide you into all truth. He said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, there are some things in life where the truth really doesn't matter. I don't believe it's going to rain today, said the fool who didn't bring his umbrella. Then he came home soaked, but laughing. Big deal. He was wrong. A load of laundry later and a nice cup of latte, and everything was just fine. I believe the Vols are going to win every remaining game of the season, said the fool who wept and ate crow. So what? He was wrong. Life goes on. But to be wrong about heaven and earth, to be wrong about God's grace and what it means in giving his son, Jesus, to be the only way to eternal life, to believe wrongly about eternity and your entrance after this world's exit, that matters. That's why Luther wrote the 95 Theses, declaring purgatory null and void. That's why he went on to correct other abuses that were plaguing Christian truth, so that when people hear the gospel purely, without alteration, like salvation comes by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, not by works of the law, that people will really believe and trust in God's abiding word. The word is not about opinions of religious leaders and lawgivers. The word is of God. And it doesn't lie or muddle with the truth. There's no fake news in the scriptures. Only the real news. That by nature we will all die. Because sin entered the world through one man. It makes no difference if you're black or white, tall or short, a president or a pauper. And that's why God revealed the good news. The best news. To reform old creatures into new creatures. God sent his son Jesus to be sin for us. That dying in our place, in your place, on the cross, you will be free. You might live. That believing in his death for you grants you, gives you salvation freely. If the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This truth does not change. It cannot. It's already done. It's grace. Because God is gracious to sinners. He is holy, but he's gracious forever. And he wants all hearts to believe this, to have that faith. For faith alone saves. Faith in Jesus, not faith in Martin Luther, not faith in yourselves, not faith in your country or your works to please God. Faith alone in Jesus, sola fide, as the Reformers put it, faith alone in Christ Jesus alone. Does this make a difference for daily life? You better believe it does. Eternal things have eternal consequences, yet also temporal ones. So when you know where you're going and how you'll get there, you can do these things. You can rejoice, first of all. Rejoice in the truth that sets you free. In other words, worship God freely, serve Him only, freely, out of love, not to get Him off your back, not to redeem yourself of guilt. I'm going to go worship and try to please God. Rather, come and rejoice that the Son has set me free. Secondly, you could reform your life. Reform your life. Why? Again, not to earn your salvation, not to become a better person forever so that God sees you as a better person. In His Son, He sees you as the best person. He sees you as perfect in His sight. Free. Free from sin and death and the devil. Free. Does that make you want to just continue to be the same old person you were? Or will you not, out of love for God, what He's done, reform your life? If the Son sets me free, I'm free to love, free to help others, free to serve God and come to His house and worship, free to love and help others in need who have needs that I have gifts to give them to help, free. Christians know the love of God that sets us free. Another thing we can do, as Luther taught us to do, we can laugh and love abundantly. Laugh out loud, he said, at the devil, as Luther suggested in these words. I often laugh at Satan, and there is nothing that makes him more angry as when I attack him to his face and tell him that through God, I am more than a match for him. And a few times he talked about using flatulence to make the devil unhappy too. He's a funny guy. I like to read Luther, but above all, I like to see what Luther loved. And that's God's word, the truth that set us free. We can remember God daily as we come to worship, to hear the word, not hear about other things, but hear above all that what we stand up for in church is not for what pastor has at the announcements or what Chuck has for the announcements afterwards or anything like that, or for the news that it's time to go to the feast. Oh, well, let's go eat. Rather, we stand up for the gospel, to hear the word of Christ being proclaimed in our midst. That truth. Remember that truth daily. How can you remember it? Well, Luther said, every day when you wake up, make the sign of the cross and remember your baptism. That's where you were washed. That's where you were set free from sin and death. Given that assurance of baptism, remember that daily when you rise and daily when you go to sleep. And my daughter Kate has a lovely thing in her bathroom. It's a shell-shaped sink. And I told her, every time you wash your face at night, look down into the sink. What do you see? A baptism shell. Big shell. Remember, you've been baptized. You put on Christ. Sin, the devil has no power over you now. Remember God daily. Remember what He's done. Listen and rejoice in His word. The Reformation should not make us lazy Christians who think that they don't need church. God put salvation here, in the font, and here through the pulpit, Word of God being read and heard in the midst of the congregation, like He gathered the Old Testament people of old by the trumpets, said, hear the word that saves you. Or when you come to the Lord's Supper to hear that salvation be put in your hand, the body and blood of Jesus. That's where God puts Himself. Why would we say, we don't need that, we're free, we can go do whatever we want. Free to come, rejoice, not worry about what day it is. Be free in Christ, here in His house, where He's gathered His people to worship and receive the gift of salvation. You're free to have that. Free. Lastly, recall and tell others the truth that sets us free. If it means the world to you, Don't you think it should mean the world to others? During the Reformation, the word spread. After the Reformation, the word spread. The word was not meant to be honed up. It was being translated into every language for every tribe and nation to hear. Luther had a hand in that. You can have a hand in that. Reforming the church and reforming lives doesn't exclusively belong to Luther. A little closer to home, look around. Is there someone in your life, on your street, in your apartment complex, who doesn't know what it means to be free? Who doesn't know the Lord? Who doesn't understand the grace of God, even though he's holy? Doesn't understand him to be also gracious in giving us gifts here in church that sets us free? Share with them what it means to be a Christian. Share what it means to be forgiven now and in eternity. In other words, share with them the good news of Jesus. For here in 2017, 500 years after the Reformation began, we can remember God's truth according to his word. The word of the Lord endures how long?
Forever.
Forever. The Reformation, for those who ask, is still about who? Jesus. Not about Martin Luther. It's about Jesus. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free.
Indeed.
Indeed, hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.